Well, in Acts, the second chapter, verse 42, we find this concerning the young church, the early church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those first century disciples used these four areas within the early church as a means of personal spiritual growth and church growth: teaching, fellowship, Lord's Supper, and prayer. Well, they're just as important to us today. But in all honesty, I receive more questions from Christians, or more concern from Christians, about one of these four topics than I do the other. And it's the topic of prayer. Prayer. I believe a lot of people, though, fall into two categories concerning prayer. I think one is they say, I just don't know how to pray. Or within that they may say, you know, I'll pray for a minute or two and then I'll just run out of things to say. The other side, the other category, are those who talk a lot about prayer, but I'm afraid they fail to take it serious enough to make it a vital part of their Christian walk. You know, we throw out statements when we see someone who's in a moment of distress or need, and we'll say something like, I'll be praying for you. Or we'll say, my thoughts and prayers are with you. Actually, I hear that quite often on TV too, on news programs, when there's been a very serious event in someone's life and they've interviewed someone concerning this event, and the anchor will even say things like, my thoughts and prayers are with you. And I wonder, do they really pray for that person? Or are these statements that we say to people with sincerity, maybe thinking that we're giving them comfort when we say that, but we never really carry out the promise to pray for them? The early church, according to this verse, devoted themselves to prayer. And devoted with this means very serious intention with their prayer. A firm commitment concerning prayer. The disciples knew that prayer transforms lives, both personally and the life of a church. Do we want transformation? Do we really want transformation? Transformation with our personal lives, transformation with the life of the church? Well, prayer must be a high priority if lives are to truly be transformed. Today we're going to start a series that I've entitled Pray Like This. Pray Like This. Why is it that prayer is so important? What does God get out of our prayers? What do we get out of our prayers? The disciples knew that Jesus' prayer, his prayer life, was much different than the prayer life or the prayers that they heard from other religious leaders, other teachers of their day. It was so different that they came to a point that they said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, within this, we need to know, it's not that the disciples are saying we've never prayed. If they were devout Jews, they would have prayed at least three times a day. But it was something about the way Jesus prayed that they were saying, Lord, teach us the way you pray. Jesus' response is something that we call the Lord's Prayer. Honestly, I think it's better entitled the Model Prayer, even though it's not incorrect for us to repeat the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't really the Lord praying, it was him giving a model to them of how to pray. A father and son were at a local diner for lunch. When the waiter brought their food, the father said to his son, he said, let's just have a silent prayer together. So they bowed their heads, and Dad got through with his prayer first. And he looked at his son, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And finally, after a long time, the son lifted his head up, and the father asked him, he said, "What in the world were you praying about all that time?" And the boy said, "How do I know? It was a silent prayer." So that got me thinking. Earlier when I said pray silently, what did you do? What did you do during that time of prayer? Do we pray? Do we sit not knowing really what to say to God? Do we really understand what is prayer? Because see, we should be asking the exact same question that the disciples asked of Jesus. Teach us to pray, Lord. In this series, we're going to take a deeper look at the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. Jesus taught those original disciples about prayer using this model, and what a great place for us to learn about prayer also. We're going to start this series, though, this morning with this thought about prayer warnings. We're going to look at the conversation that Jesus had first with his disciples in the Matthew account, where he gives them some warnings of how not to pray first, before he taught them the model prayer itself. It's the thoughts of what the Heavenly Father thinks is prayer and what is not prayer. So we are in Matthew, the 6th chapter. And this morning we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. It says, "Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him." Well, let's start this morning by thinking about don't be a prayer pretender. Don't be a prayer pretender. Notice something important as Jesus began this teaching. He didn't start this teaching by saying, "If you pray." He started by saying, "Whenever you pray." Prayer was not seen as an option for his followers. It was not, well, if you get around to it type mentality. Prayer was something his followers did and his followers still do. But what does it mean to be a prayer pretender? Listen to how the Message version describes verse 5. It says, "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat?" Well, do you? Do you think God sits in a box seat just waiting for your production to take place? Deb and I like to go down to the Hippodrome to watch Broadway musicals at different times. And even though we can't really afford the box seats, we try to get seats that have the least amount of obstruction when seeing the stage. But how did the Message translation come up with this interpretation of God sitting in a box seat waiting for our show of prayer? Well, it actually comes from a word in the other translation we read, the word hypocrite. Hypocrite. Hypocrite actually means someone who is an actor, someone who's pretending to be someone that they're not. In other words, in that day and time, especially if an actor in a drama or some production would play many different parts. And they would come out and they would put a mask on in front of them for each of the different parts. They would pretend to be someone different, many different ways throughout the drama that they were putting there, putting forth. It's someone who puts on, this hypocrite, this prayer pretender, is someone who puts on their theatrical mask for the audience so they can pretend to be something that they're not. Well, what was Jesus referring to in this hypocrite? The devout Jews, as I've already mentioned, prays three times a day. They pray morning, afternoon, and evening. They would stop whatever they're doing. When the hour of prayer came, they would stop whatever it was that they were doing at that moment, whether they were at home, maybe they were in the middle of a business deal, or maybe they were out harvesting grain or tending sheep, whatever the case may be, they would stop at that moment and pray. But some were known to be very creative. Some were known to create a stage for themselves to show the world their devotion in prayer. Some would make sure that at the appropriate time when prayer was to take place, that they were in busy areas, public areas. Oh, maybe it's a busy street corner. Maybe it's the middle of the market. These actors made sure that they were strategically placed for the time of prayer. And when it came, then these actors took the stage to give their prayer loudly and clearly for others to hear. They would pray with great fanfare to draw public attention to themselves of just how devout they were. You would think that when they concluded, they were ready to receive the Academy Award for a leading actor in a prayer drama. This type of prayer, maybe it does draw praise of people, but Jesus is saying it doesn't draw the praise of the Heavenly Father. But if Jesus said to not be a prayer pretender, what is it we should be then? Well, first, be yourself. Not someone else. Be yourself. God made you the way you are. Be yourself when you're talking to God. Don't imitate others. Be yourself. When I was in seminary and Debbie and I lived in Fort Worth, Texas, the church that we attended, there was a gentleman there who, when he prayed, it was very unusual to us, because when he prayed, he didn't call God Heavenly Father or even God. He called him Daddy. And he got that from the scripture where Jesus talks about Abba Daddy, Abba Father. Abba is the more intimate meaning of Father, similar to our word Daddy. And so this gentleman would pray in that way, and he would call him Daddy. Now, knowing him and being around him, I knew this was not a false pretense for him. This was his sincere heart when he prayed. Now, for me, I wouldn't necessarily pray in that way, because it's not me. Maybe it's you. But I'm going to pray according to who I am, not because someone else thinks I should pray a certain way, and certainly not because I'm going to put on a show. But speaking of shows and audiences, your audience is God, not others who might be listening. Your audience is God. See, here's where the hypocrite or the prayer-acting Jew missed the point. Our audience is not others. Our audience is not the others sitting in here this morning. Been a while ago. But once in a while, I would have someone say to me, because I ask someone usually to pray for me before the sermon, and I would have somebody come up and say, you know, they need to go up to the microphone so I could hear what it is they're praying. And I said, they're not praying to you. They're praying to God. They're not praying to you. And I said, actually, sometimes I can't even hear them what they're saying completely. Sometimes I have to even peek to see when they say amen. But that's okay. That's okay, because they're communing with God. They're praying with God. They're praying for me. They're not praying to me. And they're not praying to each one of us. They're praying to God. Our audience is not those sitting around us. Our audience is the audience of one. Our audience is the Heavenly Father. Our audience is Abba Daddy. Listen to the Message translation of verse 6. It says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Prayer is one-on-one with God. The message here says a secluded place. Other translations say an inner room. Jesus wanted them to understand that they needed to get away from the stage, get away from being the hypocrite out on the stage, and instead go back to the prop closet and go there to pray. When we pray in seclusion, we have less chance of turning it into a show in front of God. Praying is the private nature coming from one's heart to God. There's the need to be intimate with God, communing with God. But the private nature of prayer actually can happen in public too. Jesus never condemned public praying. That's not the point here of what he is teaching. He's not saying, don't pray in public. Actually, how in the world would the disciples even know how Jesus prayed unless he had prayed in front of them? That's how they knew something was different. Jesus is just saying, don't put on a show when you pray. He's condemning the heart of a person acting and seeking the praise of man instead of the praise of God. Jesus condemned the person's false intent within their prayers. So how do I know? How do I know if my public praying has turned away from the audience of God? Well, here's a couple of signs you're praying to the wrong audience. One is when you're worried what others think about your prayers. When you become worried now about what others think about your prayers, what's happened then? You've left God out when this happens. Because see, others don't matter. But also when your speech does not sound like you. When it doesn't sound like you. Because God wants you to be you. He wants you to be real. Have you ever seen or heard people who kind of change how they completely talk when they pray? Now, I haven't heard this for several years. Actually, it's when I was much younger that I heard this. But there was this tendency, especially among males, who all of a sudden started sounding like they're part of an Elizabethan drama. Now, the King James Version is an honored version of the Bible. But unless you didn't realize this, Jesus did not read or write or whatever in the King James Version of language. Neither did Paul. Okay? But there seemed to be some who would break out into prayer. And first they would lower their voices. And then it would be, "Our Heavenly Father, howest thou knowest, wherest I goest." They have all this ist and iths all over the place. They break into becoming a Shakespearean theater company. God wants to hear you for you. Your natural voice. Not trying to put on some airs before Him. He made you the way you are. Why change all of a sudden and going like this when God made you the way you are? So relax and talk to God normally. We should not be prayer pretenders, but Jesus isn't finished because He also said, don't be prayer babbler. Don't be a prayer babbler. Verse 7, once again, when you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. So what's Jesus trying to get across? Most of you, I imagine, have heard a baby babble somewhere along the way. They make all sorts of noises, and they kind of go on and on with them, and they sound so cute and adorable, but honestly, do they make any sense at all? No, they just kind of go on, and we become enchanted with their little babbles. See, we can be guilty of doing that in our prayer life. The word for babbling here means, in the original language, repeating the same words over and over without thinking. repeating the same words over and over without thinking. In Jesus' illustration, he jumps from the hypocritical or acting Jew over this side to now to babbling Gentiles. For Greek and Roman worshipers of false gods, they could go on and on praying the same words over and over to all sorts of these false gods that they had. And we see illustrations of it even in the Bible, of this babbling taking place when Elijah was in his standoff up on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. The Baal priest, we are told, from morning until noon, chanted over and over again, "O Baal, answer us! O Baal, answer us!" On and on they went. Elijah, in turn, he just prayed a simple prayer unto God, and fire fell from heaven. Then we see in the New Testament, Paul ran into a mob scene at the church at the city of Ephesus. When the people understood that Paul was not a follower of their God, they chanted for 2 hours. For 2 hours, the scripture says, they kept repeating, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" It's as if they believed they could bring forth the power of this false god by babbling on and on this line. Jesus said, you can't get God's attention that way. You can't manipulate God by babbling on or just saying empty words and phrases. The Heavenly Father already knows your needs. And trying to twist his arm by babbling on is useless and a waste of time. Also, in view of public praying, just an added note, because this can be a bit of babbling too. In far as public praying, when you're asked to pray in public, it's not your time to catch up on your past week's prayer list. Okay? And just because you didn't pray that much during the week, you decide to catch up on that Sunday or whenever. That's also babbling. So what does it mean to not be a prayer babbler? First, make your words count. Don't count your words. Make your words count. Don't count your word. Does Jesus mean you pray for something once and then you set it aside and never pray again? Is that what he's saying? Well, not exactly. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's in deep anguish over what is to come. He goes to the Father in prayer and he says, "If possible, Father, this cup can be removed." And what he means by cup is the wrath that God is going to pour out on him on the cross for your sins and my sins. He said, "If that can be removed," it says, "another way other than the cross. Is it, Father? And if not, let your will be done, not mine." And he prays this prayer, and then he goes over and he sees his disciples. They're asleep. He wakes them up, talks to them. Then he goes back and he prays the same prayer again. He does it three times. Three times. Repeating a prayer is not the problem. Does Jesus mean not to pray a long time? Well, that's not accurate either, because we have accounts where Jesus prayed all night long. See, prayer is not about the length of it, not about the number of words. So how do we make our words count? You know, make your words count, but don't count your words. Well, first, speak with simplicity, not manipulation. Endless chatter means you're no longer really speaking from the heart anymore. Instead, you're filling space and trying to manipulate. Also, don't barter with God. Don't barter with him. You know, "Hey, God, if you do this, I'll do this." No, don't do that. That's not prayer. That's a game. And God is sovereign. Prayer should always be out of humility before him. It should always be, "God, I need your help." Not, "God, if you help me, I'll do this for you." That's bartering with God. That's blackmail in many ways. Also, repeat your prayer when your heart is heavy. Repeat your prayer when your heart is heavy. There are concerns that do weigh heavy upon us. It's the reason why Jesus repeated his prayer. The cross was heavy upon his heart as he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's weighing heavy on him. But when you come to that point where God gives you the peace that you need from bringing those issues to him, go on to the next subject. Jesus finally found the peace that he needed. Yes, he was still going to go to the cross, but he found the peace in going forward. Move forward to whatever the next prayer you need to take to the Lord. But also, instead of being a prayer babbler, you need to be honest, because God knows you better than you know yourself. Look at verses 7 and 8 in the Message version. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. See, you can't fool God. I'm not sure why we try, but we do so often. And I've seen and heard these different prayer programs that people advertise that if you do this, you're going to get your answer from God. Really? That's what it's about? Prayer tricks of God? We can fool God? That's just dishonesty. If we trust God with all honesty in our prayers, then his answer is going to be the best for our lives, even if we don't understand the results of that prayer. Why should we pray? Why should we pray? Well, prayer builds a relationship with God. It builds our relationship with God. If we don't talk with him, if we don't spend time with him, we're never going to know him. But also, prayer changes us. It changes us. When you spend time alone with God, it's amazing. Amazing how the world can take on a totally different perspective when we spend time with him. I mean, I can't even count the number of times that I entered prayer with one attitude and I left with quite a different attitude, because God's Spirit changes us in our prayer. A little boy was sent to his room because he had been acting badly. A short time later, he came out of his room and he said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did and I said a prayer." Well, she was so happy for him. She said, "That's fine. If you ask God to make you good, he will help you." But the little boy said, "Oh, I didn't ask him to make me good. I asked him to help you put up with me." But isn't that how we pray sometimes? We seldom ask for change of our character, change of us. Instead, we want a change in circumstance instead of a change in us. And in most cases, I find what we really need is the change in us first. And most times, the change in circumstance is no longer needed in our lives. No longer needed. What's the big idea? Prayer is our relationship with God that changes me. Prayer is our relationship with God that changes me. We may not pray exactly like Jesus, the Master, but we can start with the basics. And in this case, prayer warnings of how not to pray can be a strong influence on us on how to pray. Be honest, be ourselves, center on the audience of one, speak from the heart, and let God change you and let God challenge you. This morning, I think we should all be able to admit that our prayer life is not what it should be. It should be greater. I don't think any of us has reached the ultimate of what prayer life could be. We all have plenty of room for growth. And I think that needs to be our prayers. Lord, help me to pray like this, to be a better prayer warrior with you. But maybe this morning you've never made the ultimate prayer. And that is that of asking Christ to come in your heart, forgive you of your sins, confess with Jesus, I want to make you Lord now because of all you've done for me on the cross, for the punishment you took for me on the cross. I want to make you my Lord now within my heart. I want to walk and follow you. And then find that forgiveness of sin that only he can give, a life with him now and, of course, eternity to come. And maybe that's the prayer that you need this morning. Pastor Mike and I will be up front. You can come and pray with us if you'd like at that time, or talk to us more about it, or if you want to afterwards, we can sit and chat with you also. Be open to God's call, or maybe some other prayer need or other prayer request you have this morning that you need to take unto the Lord. And you can come up front. You can pray with us. You can pray by yourself here on the front or on the front row. Wherever God is calling you, be open to his call. But let's go to him now in prayer, and then we'll sing our song of invitation and our challenge from God to change and evolve in our prayer life. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for these words leading into the Lord's Prayer. These words of warning unto us of how we can take this simple thing called prayer and distort it in so many different ways. But Father, you just want us to be ourselves and to be genuine whenever we come into your presence. But the thing is, you desire us to be into your presence. You desire us to come to you. And Lord, I pray that we will learn to grow in our prayer life. And Father, to walk closer with you each day. Lord, guide and lead us now in this time as we sing, as we turn our hearts toward you. And Lord, may your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.